Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can be a part always at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I got Jess on the board, working the sound, working your calls, and joined by my dear friend Earl Ingram Jr. in the studio. Earl, happy days, man. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, happy days are here again, man.
You know it. You know it. It's great to talk to you again, always, Earl. I'd appreciate you coming on Monday as well. But that was before the debate, and we haven't really talked about it, so I want to get your sense. What did you do for the debate?
I mean, I watched the debate.
Were you at home? Were you at a bar? You had a party? How did you? You're at home. Okay.
I was at home, man, and so I rushed home from an event that I was at. I wanted to see the debate, and so you know, I've seen a few debates in my life.
Oh yeah.
And so really, I it's the first time that I can recall that I watched the debate all the way through.
You know what? That's a great observation. I don't think I have either. I mean, literally all the way through. And it was so hard to watch the Biden one last time, man. Oh, we were at the theater. I was walking in and out of the room. It's hanging out in the hallway in the lobby. Couldn't watch it. One eye, covering one ear. But yeah, this one all the way through.
And I think it was all the way through, man, for a couple of different reasons. Not because of Donald Trump, because we've seen him. He's had eight debates. You know, he's had eight debates as he's run for president over the years. And so I wanted to see Kamala Harris. I really wanted to see if I could envision her as being the president.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of talk, a lot of conjecture, and, you know, back and forth. You know, yes, she's the nominee. But just because she's the nominee didn't mean that in my mind that I could see her. Man, we're talking about a woman.
A woman?
In America, in 2024, never happened in the history of our nation that a woman has been the president of the United States.
Well, certainly not for the lack of qualifications of many women in this country.
So that's it.
Right.
So that's what I was looking at. Do I think that she can ascend to that position? Do I believe she's strong enough? I don't think we could debate whether she's smart enough when you look at her credentials. If you can become the vice president of the United States, if you can, you know, be in the position that she has been legally risen to some of the highest levels, you know, when people say, well, she's dumb, the only person who says she's dumb is somebody who's really dumb, right?
Well, just, I mean, Earl.
Dan Quayle was vice president, man. I mean, you know, there's lots of people that perhaps shouldn't have been, but you're putting these qualifications. You want to see? Can you envision? And is it the fact that she's a woman, Earl? Is that the hard part to envision a female in that? In the Oval Office, is that what you needed to get through your mind?
That was it.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, let's be honest, man. It's 2024. Nation's been around for a long time, and no woman has ever been there. I think all of us should be asking that question, whether or not this is going to happen, because historically, it's never happened before.
Right.
So, you know, there is no history that we can look at that says, yeah, there's been a woman president before in the United States. So that was it. And so that's what a hurdle I had to clear in my own mind.
Yeah.
And I cleared that hurdle.
Because of her ability, what convinced you? What in your mind, Earl, when you saw that debate, see her compared against Donald Trump, was it the comparison? Was it her argument? Was it her presentation? Was it her for the people? What brought you to be a believer in that?
It was the fact that, you know, this is not some woman that they found on a street corner. She's the vice president of the United States. She's had conversations and dialogue with the leaders of the world where she sat down representing our nation. She's not just some chip off the old block, man. She's a woman who has experience in the 4 years that, she's been the vice president to represent our nation internationally. So, to me, I wanted to see that. I didn't see her representing our nation internationally.
Right.
But I got to see her and hear her.
It's the Biden administration. Yes. It's not the Harris administration. Right, and if you have, and I think she is a star, and I'm not suggesting perhaps that the Bidens were keeping her down purposefully, but it's the, you don't want your vice president to outshine the boss, right? So, and she worked at their directive, but now when we get a little taste, Earl, and I'm liking what I'm seeing, and it has never happened before.
Right. That's
okay. But it's not like this nation was created with, women and minorities in mind. So
being a minority, I kind of concur with you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then, throw the gender thing on there as well. It was all about white land owning men. That's what this country was about for a very long time. I mean, Kamala Harris, when she was born, I don't know if her mom could get a credit card without her dad's permission. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this is the 70s we're talking about. This isn't that long ago, Earl.
Hey, Dom. 1972, I was 18. So I definitely
see what I'm saying.
Yeah, part of it is, a bird has to test their wings. Hmm. They don't just jump out of the nest and,
hope for the best.
Yeah. They test their wings. She's testing her wings. And part of what I saw on the other day led me to believe that she's capable of flying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's what I saw. That's what I'm impressed with. Do I want to see more? And let's be clear. She's not Donald Trump. And what I mean by that is she is going to put, and they're going to put talented people around her.
Not sycophantic where she's not, yes men?
Where Donald Trump is saying, I'm making all the calls.
I'm smartest. Yeah. I know I'm never wrong. And I know everything.
And I'm called. So every other office or that there is in the United States, Donald Trump, doesn't matter who's there, he's going to be the final guy making. It's not going to be that way with her. She's going to have a staff of very talented people
around
her. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so she won't have to make those tough decisions.
And then if we think historically, the people that were around Donald Trump when he first started, how many of those people are actually endorsing Trump for another term?
Not one.
No, dude. Right.
I know.
So that tells you a lot. And I think the vice president was very clear on that. We talk about these national security. They think you're a disgrace. I love it when she uses his own words, her own words against him. Earl, I appreciate your perspective, man. I see this as a continuation of a career of service, district attorney, attorney general, senator, vice president, Kamala Harris for the people, that trend line and that effort. And I'm sure, every politician, you can do something, said something, dig something. That's just, that's the life you live. If you're out there serving the people, we're not going to make the proper decisions every single time. No one is going to stand up. And I wouldn't expect Kamala Harris to stand up and say, I know it all. I know everything. I am the arbiter of what is good and great and what is bad and evil in this country. Never going to hear that. What I get from her is a sense of humility, a sense of service. And obviously capable, man. She was the attorney general for California, the fifth largest economy in the world, man. The biggest state, the most populous state in the country. And that crew, that big state said, yeah, we want Harris.
So here's what kills me, man. The more I hear Republicans say, she's not very smart. I'm like,
I know.
Okay, man. So what are you basing that on?
Well, she's a woman.
I know. She's not very smart, okay? So, clearly there are a couple things, Dom, and I said it to you off the air. I think it's time now for a woman to ascend to the highest office in the land. Our nation is at a crossroads. It really is. Anybody who thinks that our nation is not at a crossroads is, you know,
is our nation always at a crossroads, though,
yeah,
Earl?
But,
I mean,
but,
it's always the most important election of your lifetime. I mean, yeah. I can't imagine going through, you know, civil rights and Vietnam and, you know, the assassinations of the 60s and the turmoil in the 70s. It seems like we're always on the
edge,
man.
Hey, Dom, I went through that stuff.
Yeah, that's what
right?
I'm saying.
And was old enough to know it. But what I mean now is this divide between the MAGAs and the attack on this nation. I mean, they clearly hate people who aren't a part of who they are. Hating somebody who's your fellow American. Hey, I'm just saying.
Right, your fellow human.
Yes,
regardless of an immigration status, they eat and breathe, and you know we're human. That's what's our commonality, Earl.
That there's something seriously wrong with that. And Dominic, I think the difference is today people are more heavily armed with automatic weapons and 10,000 rounds of ammunition. You know, people own 10,000 rounds.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Individuals,
yeah,
right?
Right. Load and up. Then, yep. whole room full of guns. Yeah.
And so they have it for a reason, right? I mean, they didn't buy all that stuff.
Nah, it's like gun porn, man. You know, I mean,
hey.
So yes, they have it for a reason. And hopefully whatever that reason is, it would not be to
take
come
on
out
our government,
on our government, because the guy, because here's the difference. And I don't know if it's necessary the quote unquote ignorance or the hatred or all the negative parts of humanity. Those have always been here. And it's a struggle for us all the time as human beings, right? This is the eternal struggle. It's just that there's a guy in Donald Trump that pushes it, that allows it, that gives them permission to come out and be like that and think, yes, this is the right answer. Here is my leader. He allows us. He tells us who to hate. He tells us what's wrong and what's right. So we don't have to, because we believe in him. That's the difference. What happens when he goes away? What happens when he loses this election? What happens to Donald Trump then? What happens to MAGA versus the GOP then? Because I think long before any of the GOP and the conservatives, you know, point their attention and their eyes at the rest of the world, they have to have a reckoning within their own party. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. Earl Ingram stepping in with me, 855-752-4842. Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. 855-752-4842 is the line. It's a talk. It's a text. You can join us. Earl Ingram Jr. in studio with me, just screening the calls ever so slightly. We will get there momentarily, reflecting on the debate and the state of the state, let's call it, the state of our union, Earl.
So are we having a fireside chat?
I think so. Oh, okay. I think so. We talked about the arming of this country, and I think it's a great point. You know, what was going on back, the turmoil of the civil rights movement in the 60s and the 70s, I mean, that we were not armed to the teeth with the weapons of war that we have now, right? I mean, we acknowledge that. When they ran the gauntlet on January 6th, many of them were armed. My understanding, they had stashes of weapons,
yes,
around the city and around wherever, but they didn't come loaded for bear necessarily with the AR-15s going to the Capitol. You know what I'm saying? So they may have been on standby,
right,
and some folks had some pistols or whatever, but most of them were, you know, not that kind of lethality when they attacked the Capitol. If it was going to be something, don't you think it would have happened then? I mean, do you think it's worse now? Because I think if you look at the tip of the spear of what the MAGAs and the Proud Boys and the Three Percenters and the, you know, these white nationalist groups, a lot of those folks, a lot of those quote-unquote leaders, well, they got wrapped up, man. They got caught, they got arrested, and they got put on trial, and they got convicted, and some of them are sitting away for a very long time. You know, there has been some reckoning for the bad behavior, at least of the frontline troops that, you know, Trump directed, not for the generals that were sitting at the hotel, not for Donald Trump, not for the Republican politicians that engaged in their version of the soft coup with their fraudulent slate of electors and so forth. There has been some reckoning. Do you think that's going to kind of tamp it down a little bit, at least for the rank and file?
I don't think, Dominic, that you know, we're going to have, you know, hundreds of thousands of armed Americans attacking our government. I do think that many people have armed themselves. They believe that, you know, our government is taking control over their lives, and they somehow believe that they've got to take the government back. And you and I can't even conceive of people even having those thoughts that there's some way possible that they're going to overcome the most powerful nation on earth.
Well, it's the government of the people, by the people, and for the people. I mean, yeah. It's self-governance. And you might, you know, I understand if you have an issue perhaps with the bureaucratic state, but, you know, we need to have experts and institutional knowledge in a lot of these agencies to get things done. I mean, there still has to be the administration of government. So is it the lack of engagement then for those that would think the government is out of control and they're doing this and they're doing that? I mean, Donald Trump was freaking out during that debate, Earl, screaming, "She's coming for your guns."
I know.
I mean, what? So, I mean, he understands, Donald Trump understands that this is a very sensitive issue. He said it a couple of times. Finally, Harris, when asked another question, said, "No, I want to come back and address this." She did a great job on it. Said, "No, we're not coming for your guns. I have guns. You know, Walls has guns. This is not a coming for your guns issue." So she addressed it. Now, do people believe it? You know, time will tell. I don't think that's the case. Now, there can be certainly a discussion about gun safety and whether or not, you know, bump stocks should be legal, whether an AR-15 should be available to the, you know, someone who turns 18, you know, before you can have a beer, you can go get yourself a weapon of war. Those are concerning things. And we've had bans on those types of weapons before. And come on, it's all about matters of degree. You can't have a Tommy gun anymore. You know, you can't have a battlefield nuke, you know, as a citizen. You can't have an Abrams tank. If you want some of these really fancy old, you know, stylistic Army war, you usually got to be some sort of veteran or in the industry and then get permits to have those kinds of weapons. Not just walk into a store and buy an AR-15.
Hey, Dominic, I live in a community where 12, 13, 14-year-old kids have bump stocks and they have made automatic weapons. Jeez. And it is an epidemic. And so when we talk about it from the perspective of, is the broader populace of our nation outside of central cities where this carnage is already happening,
right,
going to happen? I don't know. But I do know that bump stocks are legal and 12, 13-year-old children have them. And blood is running in the street in central cities across our nation. It's not hard for me to imagine that people who don't believe in this government and who love Donald Trump and who are, you know, mesmerized by whom, you know, they believe he is, that they are going to do whatever it takes. They're all in with him. They're all in with him.
Let me ask you this, Earl, in your opinion, do you think there is a similar attitude in this regard? You know, when you have, you know, young kids engaging in that behavior, obviously at 12, and I mean, they're your young kids, you know,
right,
they have a sense. They're not doing it for political reasons, right? Perhaps it's a lack of hope, opportunity, yeah, you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Is that the same kind of attitude some of these megas will have? If they believe that all of a sudden they're losing their country to the dog-eating Haitians,
well,
that there's a lack of hope for them, that there's nothing, I mean, F the world because it sucks for me, so it may as well suck for everybody. What do you think? Is there a trend line with that mentality, in your opinion?
Well, what person in their right mind could hear a person say, Kamala Harris is going to take your guns from you. That a person who's thinking rightly will say, number one, that's impossible. The United States can't come and take guns out of people's homes who have them. That's not going to happen. And so if you're thinking properly, you would know that that can't be. Yet he's telling the people. And if she gets elected, there's going to it's the end of the world as we know it. World War III is going to take place. And they're going to be nuclear weapons. And so people who believe in him, they're not thinking independently of themselves. He's thinking for them.
Right.
And whenever people, young people in our community, young kids who have older people taking advantage of them and moving them in these kinds of ways that they're doing these things, it's like a robot. They're controlling them. Guess what? Donald Trump is controlling the minds of many of those people who are MAGAs.
Yes. Manipulating.
Yes.
For their own purposes.
Oh, absolutely.
For themselves. Not for them, but for the individuals doing the manipulating.
Absolutely.
Earl Ingram Jr., joining me in studio here at WAUK, Jess is on the board. We're going to get to some of your calls as well. And we're going to kind of rehash some of the favorite clips from yesterday. There's so much, Earl.
I couldn't
get to it all. I mean, a 90-minute debate, and I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. The interactions, the body language of both candidates said so much. But the actual words that came out of Trump's mouth, well, they do inspire. Seemingly, apparently, there were bomb threats in Springfield, where the Haitians are. I'll come back with that and your calls as well. 855-75-CIVIC. Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Phone lines are opening. Going to go there shortly. 855-752-4842. Earl Ingram in studio just screening the calls. Apparently, we have some issues with the stream. So if you're out there on the socials, our apologies. You can flip over to the Civic Media app, the super cool app. You take it with you anywhere you go. That's working a whole lot better. So thank you for joining us. 855-75-CIVIC. Earl, reflecting on the debates, the eating of the pets was something that I actually, while I was at the party, I felt it come and I saw it. I called it out and then I was right. So rarely right, especially in the immediate sense. And it was great and we laughed, but it's not a laughing matter. Did see today the reporting, bomb threats reported at City Hall, multiple other buildings in Springfield, Ohio. The threat was sent via email to multiple agencies and media outlets, according to ABC News. Explosive detecting canines helped police clear multiple facilities listed in the threat, including two elementary schools, City Hall, and a few driver's license bureaus. Springfield's police chief told reporters, the county court facilities were also cleared out as an abundance of caution. FBI is working to identify the source of the threat. Though it is not yet known if they are connected, the threat comes after baseless rumors spread online in the wake of a viral social media post claiming Haitian immigrants were abducting people's pets in Springfield in order to eat them. The rumors were amplified by right-wing politicians, including former President Donald Trump and his running mate, J.D. Vance. We have cut number one. I don't want to read it because I don't want to say it, but this is what Trump said, and there are consequences to these words. If you would please just cut one.
Sure. And it's also important to remember where we get here in the debate. So I've included the framing and the question and the context in which Trump decides to go in this direction.
Excellent. Thank you.
Why did you try to kill that bill, and successfully so? That would have put thousands of additional agents and officers on the border.
First, let me respond as to the rallies. She said people start leaving. People don't go to her rallies. There's no reason to go. And the people that do go, she's bussing them in and paying them to be there and then showing them in a different light. So she can't talk about that. People don't leave my rallies.
Mad about
we have the
rally
biggest
comment.
Rallies, the most incredible
so
rallies in the history
up, right?
of politics. That's because people want to take their country back. Our country is being lost. We're a failing nation. And it happened 3.5 years ago. And what's going on here, you're going to end up in World War III, just to go into another subject.
Oh, yeah, another subject.
What they have done to our country by allowing these millions and millions of people to come into our country and look at what's happening to the towns all over the United States. And a lot of towns don't want to talk. It's not going to be Aurora or Springfield. A lot of towns don't want to talk about it because they're so embarrassed by it. In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there. And this is what's happening in our country. And it's a shame. As far as rallies are concerned, as far as the reason they go is they like what I say. They want to bring our country back. They want to make America great again. It's a very simple phrase. Make America great again. She's destroying this country. And if she becomes president, this country doesn't have a chance of success. Not only success, we'll end up being Venezuela on steroids.
The question, why did you kill the immigration bill? mm-hmm. That he, of mm-hmm. course, never really answered that little part of it, did he?
No.
Why? Because he, you know what? What if an immigration bill, would he have these go-tos? Would he have this comment about eating of the pets? And also, look. Okay, a little bit more, Earl, bear with me, if you will, from the ABC News reporting. A spokesperson for the city of Springfield told ABC News the claims are false and there have been no credible reports or specific claims of pets being harmed, injured, or abused by individuals in the immigrant community. Additionally, there have been no verified instances of immigrants engaging in illegal activities such as squatting or littering in front of residents' homes, the spokesperson said. Furthermore, no reports have been made regarding members of the immigrant community deliberately disrupting traffic. Those are the quotes from the city. Now, the Springfield estimates around 12,000 to 15,000 immigrants living in the county. Migrants have been drawn to the region because of the low cost of living and work opportunities, according to the city. The rapid rise in population has strained housing, healthcare, and school resources, according to the city. But city officials also said the migrants are in the country legally and that many are recipients of temporary protected status. The Haitian Bridge Alliance condemns the baseless and inflammatory claims about Haitian migrants, arguing they not only perpetuate hateful stereotypes, but also contribute to the dangerous stigmatization of immigrant communities, particularly Black immigrants from the Republic of Haiti. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine dispelled the rumors last week, said the state will send more resources to Springfield. So in the wake of this conversation, in the wake of, oh, it's so funny eating the pest at a bomb threats at elementary schools, they emptied out the courthouse and city hall, some driver's license bureaus. Earl, it seems to me, we don't know the source or why or who or what, but maybe someone was inspired by this rumor that was magnified and amplified by the former president.
So Dominic, there's no question. How many does it take, right, to do the threat that was made today? How many people does it take to do that, to harm a lot of people? One person with an AR-15. That knows what they're doing with a lot of ammo and nobody's aware, and a marks person can take out 30 people,
sure,
40 people before in the twinkling of an eye. And so, you know, I don't think it's hyperbole, Dominique, to think that there are some people who believe totally in what Donald Trump is saying, and they're willing to do whatever it takes. They'll sacrifice their own lives because everybody's not rat tight. Right?
I mean,
and you could be looking right at somebody and think that.
Looking at you, Earl. Yeah,
hey, the only saving grace you have with me is I don't own any weapons. The only weapon I have is my mouth.
That's right, man.
And so it can't cause that much damage. But depends.
Yeah, right. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Let's get to some callers. Greg from Waukesha, timely in this regarding the martyr complex. Greg, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's interesting that Donald Trump isn't the biggest gun control advocate after a gun, you know, almost took him out. But of course, God saved him from that, right? Mm. You know, that was interesting. But Earl, I guess I just want to ask this question because you are a lot older and wiser than I am. Well, I don't know about a lot older, but
well, I don't know about the wiser part either. But go ahead.
But I love that you called that you haven't referred to it as the Republican Party. This isn't the Republican Party, you know, of Ronald Reagan.
No, it's not.
This isn't the Republican Party of George W. or even George H.W. Bush. So, Earl, my question to you is, how could this party go so south? I mean, to elect a candidate just like this. And I just want to say one more thing. You know, I believe in the Bible and in peace. And I'm a peace loving person. I don't think what's happening right now in this country is very peaceful. And I think things are going to get worse, you know, before they get better. And that's the sad and tragic part to me. So thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Greg.
Yeah, so what I would say to you, my friend, is this is not the Republican Party. And I'm glad you mentioned of the Bushes. Because, Dominic, you remember a group called the Tea Party?
Sure. Tax enough already, baby.
We saw the Tea Party. Mm-hmm. The Tea Party was a phenomenon. That was conservatives. And so they had a belief in their views, not in the individual person. And,
right. Yeah.
And we're talking about some people who are enamored with a cultic figure.
Cult of personality.
He is. I don't know, Dominic. I never saw, what was it that he was on?
Oh, The Apprentice?
Yeah, I've never seen that.
Nor I.
Okay, so apparently there was something that he was doing there that enamored people to seeing him as somebody spectacular. But as he stated, I'm older. I remember Donald Trump back in the 70s. And who he was and the kind of person he was. And so when people first thought he was running for president, they laughed. People never thought that this was going to ever happen.
Right.
But it did. And people should just be very clear. You can get caught up in things with people where the people, Jim Jones,
right,
they followed a guy and took their lives. We're talking about the same kind of thing, Dominic. I believe that.
But never on this scale. You know, there was that 900, I don't know how many people were in Jonestown. Yeah, a lot of families and kids and a terrible circumstance. That's a lot.
You don't think that many Americans who are following Donald Trump?
I don't know that if Donald Trump told them all to drink cyanide, that they would do it, man. I really don't. I think there's a certain, because, you know, self-preservation is a thing. You know, it's not like when they did January 6th, they came, you know, guns blazing. They could have.
Right.
You know, they didn't, because they don't want to die either.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think there is some of that. And I think there's a lot of folks and some of the conservative callers and friends of ours. I really, really enjoy the busting of the chops and the trolling and things like that I don't think they would put their lives on the line for someone like Donald Trump. I just don't know that they would go to that extreme. It's one thing to, you know, pull the lever for a quote unquote conservative because that's what you've always done or that's what you're into. It's an entirely another thing to, you know, go out on a suicide mission and to die for the man for what cause.
So what are the 325, 350 million right. Americans, yeah. somewhere around there?
Yeah. Doesn't take
all
a lot.
It takes. That's all it takes, right?
855-752-4842. Let's keep going on the lines. Jeff from Superior, you're next. Welcome, Jeff. What do you got for us?
Hi, good afternoon. I hope you can hear me okay. I'm in a rural area.
Yeah, we can hear you just fine, Jeff. Thank you.
Okay, I was a lifelong Democrat. In fact, I went to Carter's inauguration. I voted for Obama, Biden twice. I went to Obama's second inauguration. But when I saw Barack Obama give money to Iran and Biden gave more money to Iran, and then Hamas attacked Israel and Hezbollah is attacking Israel with the money that Iran gives them, that is why I will never vote for a Democrat again. I think the Democratic Party is corrupt. I think Kamala Harris is a
corrupt,
Marxist,
corrupt. And I hang on. Jeff. Explain to me how Vice President Harris is a Marxist. What policy?
Oh, what we see.
What? Yeah, please enlighten me.
What we see now is media bias making, you know, you can put lipstick on a
Yeah, I'm asking you. I'm asking you, Jeff. I'm asking you. I'm not talking about media bias. I'm asking Jeff from Superior. Articulate for me, why do you think, what specific actions, words, thoughts, phrases, what has she done to you to think that she's a quote-unquote Marxist?
I know who I am. You don't have to remind me of my name.
Okay.
I have a very strong character.
I appreciate
very strong
that.
Opinions about.
I get that. But do you base those opinions on anything about fact? I'm not media biased, man. You're calling her a Marxist. I'm asking her, what has she done? What has she said? What has she proposed that makes you think that she is a Marxist?
Okay. Well, you've asked me three times.
And you haven't answered yet, Jeff. Come on, man.
Okay,
one more time. Go ahead. We've got 30 seconds.
Right now.
Yes, please.
She raised money for BLM and Antifa. Those are trained Marxists. She supports Marxists. Her father was a Marxist. Oh. She knows the Marxist philosophy, and that's why she's going to seek power to enforce her Marxist philosophy.
Well, that's an answer, Jeff. Thank you for finally getting to it.
And you asked me if there was anybody who would follow him?
855-75-CIVIC. We'll be right back.
Come on, man.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Callers, be patient. Jess will get to you shortly. Her father was a Marxist. Jeff from Superior. Earl, he finally answered the question. I know he claims that her father was a Marxist, but okay, she gave money or she raised money for BLM. Well, I've given some money to BLM. Doesn't make me a Marxist. I think, you know, organizations, regardless of who you think may have started it and all these kinds of things, I'm sorry, when young black men are continually getting shot by unarmed black men, getting shot by police, I feel for that community, man. We're all feeling that. Just because some people in some organizations you may describe as a Marxist doesn't make it so. And certainly Kamala Harris is... because you claim her to be a Marxist, isn't. She is the Vice President of the United States. Has she proposed the state taking over the means of production and distribution in this country ever? I mean, what do you mean, dude? What is a Marxist to you, sir? Because I have not seen that, heard that, because it's not just a philosophy. You have to turn it into action. What action? What has she done, Earl, to make Jeff from Superior think that she's a Marxist? And he voted for Obama, and he was a Carter. He's been a lifelong Democrat.
Come on, man.
And so the Iran deal, right? I guess, you know, when the U.S. internationally unfroze some money and gave them some of their money back, let's remember that part of it. Certainly there can be objections to foreign policy deals. There's objections to the Iran deal. I can understand that, but that doesn't make them a Marxist. I mean, Iran isn't Marxist.
I'd like to pose a question to Jeff. These are the same people who say Kamala Harris is changing her mind. So didn't he say he used to be a Democrat?
He changed his mind, I guess.
Come on, man.
855-752-4842. Let's keep going down the line. Annie from Watertown, you're next. Welcome, Annie. What do you got for us?
I know it might be hard to find a job in Superior. I think that guy is making some money by doing the calling to progressive radio shows to make some money.
Well, man, if you can get paid calling shows, man, I'm going to hang up right now and start doing it. Andy, what do you got?
Oh, yeah. Just thinking about, you know, he put down Venezuela, but wasn't it just like really recently that he mentioned he was going to go live in Venezuela?
He was talking to Leon, if I recall, Elon Musk. Yeah. And he talked about if he loses the election, they'll meet next up and do another podcast in Venezuela, I believe. You're right, I think, Annie. Yeah.
Yeah, funny how there's just so many. It gets to be that. I don't care if you say you're a Democrat or not. I mean, if you can hold these two concepts constantly, contradicting concepts, yeah. He's got concepts.
I got a concept of a plan, Annie.
Yeah, he's got all these contrasting, total opposite concepts, you know, and people
they do. Because I don't. Maybe it's because of the stream of consciousness and the continual stream of lies that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth. And thank you for the call, Annie. But even the Venezuela comment is contradictory, because on one side, Donald Trump says Venezuela and these other countries are emptying out their prisons and their insane asylums and sending them all here. So therefore, Venezuela is safer than it's ever been. And then he says, if Kamala Harris wins the election, we're going to be an asshole country like Venezuela. But you just told me Venezuela is great right now because all their criminals and their insane asylum folks are all here. So it can't be both things. Even if one was true or the other was true, and they're not, they both can exist at the same time, to your point, Annie. And he has tons of contradictory statements like that. And it's hard to sift through them all. If you have any logic, you could realize that if it's really, really good in Venezuela, why are you saying that we're going to become like Venezuela if she's the president? Thanks for the call, Annie. 855-752-4842. Let's keep going down the line. Lisa from Racine, you're up next. Welcome, Lisa. What do you got for us?
Hi, Dom. So my question is, so we keep hearing about all of these proceeds, I guess you could say, that these immigrants and the aliens are getting. You know, I keep hearing about the Republican Party saying, you know, we're just bleeding all this money out for them. We're giving them free health care, free housing, free food stamps, free food, free all of these things. So, again, a conflicting, you know, Republican vibe here. So why are we eating Fido if we have the capabilities to get filet mignon?
Mm-hmm.
Just wondering.
That's a great question.
It is a great question. And that's the thing that you have to keep doing to these people is I spend it around and they're like, exactly like he does during a debate. Well, I got the best rallies and the biggest friends and I'm the greatest guy. That's what this means. Vote for me. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyone with two brain cells should be able to figure this guy out. I don't care, like the other caller said, if you're a Democrat or a Republican, this has nothing to do with political parties anymore. This literally has to do with saving our country.
Oh, and engaging in civil, honest discussion and discourse and debate, Lisa.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
Correct.
Donald Trump can't say anything truthful ever, and he will contradict himself over and over again. For example, the whole Haitians are eating your dogs. He says he brings this up in the context of why he killed the immigration bill. Well, for the record, as we discussed, because, of course, there have been threats to Springfield, a bomb threat for schools and City Hall and other buildings. Well, the folks that are in, the Haitians that are in Springfield, are here legally under temporary protected status. They're not even of the immigrant class, quote unquote, that Donald Trump is railing against. These folks came in here legally. We grant these as a government to people in countries that are experiencing armed conflict or environmental disasters. Haiti's very dangerous. These folks are here. We welcome them here. These are not the folks that, quote unquote, scurried over the border illegally. These folks are here legally. But he refers to them and it a question about illegal immigration. Does anybody get that or care? Even if the stories were true, they're not. It's not even the people you're talking about or the issue you're talking about. We're talking to you. 855-752. Oh, my goodness. 4842. The phone lines are jammed up. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and get to more of you. Thank you for listening. Earl Ingram Jr. in studio, just on the board. We'll be right back.
Kiss.